Look at Exodus chapter 17. Exodus chapter 17. Well, I had a letter or two I was going to read you tonight. I forgot to bring them. Once in a while I do that. The radio broadcast coming along. I got three telephone calls this evening after the radio program. They're good, but it was. All three of them were good. People ain't going to pay long distance stuff yet. But we appreciate them, and we thank God for them. People give us some praise and tell they really enjoy the message. And that's encouragement to my heart. And I want to pass it along to you to be praying for the broadcast. Ever since Hickory went rock, Gabby's got a lot more listeners. And be praying that God will keep them from going that way. Keeping that gospel witness on the airwaves. There aren't many. You can just about search in vain in most places. In Michigan, up there, and go to Florida, go anywhere. You can run that radio back and forth across the dial and can't find any gospel preaching or singing either. And so pray that God will keep the door open here in North Carolina and South Carolina, and it's in the Bible Belt. Exodus chapter 17. We're going to start verse number 6. Well, could go back and do it all, but you're familiar with the first part there. In verse number 2, they started griping about not having no water to drink out there in the desert. And the people thirsted in verse 3. And Moses went to the Lord and he said, Lord, they're about ready to stone me. Something, you're going to have to do something. They're going to vote me out. And the Lord said to Moses, go on and get to your rod, you know, and you get to the river and take it in your hand, go, and I'll stand before you. Smite the rock down, water come out to drink. And then he smote the water, and the children of Israel came out, or they drank the water, and the children of Israel came and drank it. And then they tempted God and said, is water among us or not? In verse 8, we're going to start reading tonight, Exodus 17:8. Then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. Remember that first verse there. And Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men, and go out and fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand upon the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. So Joshua did as Moses had said to him, and fought with Amalek. And Aaron and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy. And they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat down, and Aaron and Hur stayed at his hands, one on one side and the other on the other side, and his hands were steady until they were going down to the sun. And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. And the Lord said unto Moses, write this for a memorial in a book, and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua, for I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. And Moses built an altar and called the name of it Jehovah Nissi. For he said, because the Lord hath sworn that the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. Now, turn over to the book of Galatians chapter 5 just a moment. And I'm just going to have you turn to three or four scriptures here tonight in just a little bit. And as way of introduction, Galatians chapter number 5, you see a verse that we want to tie in with this scripture about the Old Testament tonight. Galatians 5. And verse number 17, Galatians chapter 5, and verse 17, we'll compare it with Exodus 17. Galatians 5:17, for the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary, the one to the other. Now everybody knows that part right there. These are contrary to each other. They're against each other. These are contrary, so that you cannot do the things that you would. I want to preach to you tonight on war with the flesh. War with the flesh. If you're a Christian here tonight, you're going to want to pay close attention because you are involved in this war with your flesh. Let's bow our heads while we pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this privilege of coming to you in prayer. Thank you for this day. Thank you for our salvation, Lord, that you give us, Lord, when you died on the cross for our sins. We thank you, Lord, for a Bible you've given us to read. Thank you, Lord, for a good place you've given us to worship. Thank you, Lord, for brothers and sisters to fellowship with. Thank you, God, that you've allowed us sound mind and a healthy body. Lord, that we can come to your house and worship you and cry out, He lives before a lost and dying world. Our Father, tonight we realize that every saved person in this room is fighting a battle. And I pray, God, that somehow you'd use this preacher, Lord, to say some things that may help us, Lord, to fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, and do the work of God, to press toward the mark of the high calling of God. Lord, that we wouldn't sleep through the journey, that we wouldn't grumble and complain, but God, we'd stand, and when we've done all to stand, having done all, and have our loins girt about with truth, and armor on, have your way in this service, anoint us with your presence and your power, help us to say just what you'd have us to say. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to talk to you for a little while tonight on war with the flesh. Now, in this story, you realize that the children of Israel had come up out of Egypt's bondage. That's a picture of how the Lord delivered us out of our sin. And He come up out of Egypt's bondage. They went through the Red Sea, a type of their baptism. And then after they got on the other side of the Red Sea, they started wandering around in the wilderness, going to Canaan's land. Now, that wilderness journey is a type of the wanderings of a Christian life. And as you go along in your Christian life, you're going to find that you will encounter many of the things in a spiritual sense that these people encountered in a literal sense. Now, Amalek, in this story tonight, represents the flesh. Amalek, the word itself means something sharp or something pointed or cut or warlike. And Amalek, in this story tonight that I'm reading to you, is a perfect type of the flesh of a child of God. Now, when you get saved, one thing you know, if you've been saved any while at all, you realize that your flesh does not get saved when you get saved. You're born again on the inside, but your old flesh, my fingers, and my eyes, and my ears, and my nose, and my jawbone, and my feet are the very same, except a little older, than they were the night I got saved and accepted Jesus Christ. Your flesh does not get saved. There's a lot of people going around today teaching that when you get right with God, that your flesh immediately becomes eradicated, and that you reach a state of sinless perfection, and you reach a place where you don't own the sin no more, and you don't bother anymore, that you're up on a spiritual plateau, floating along all the time, and never have any battles or problems. Of course, you and I know that's not true. You have an old nature. Now, this will help young people. This will help moms and dads if you'll listen for a few minutes. It'll help you to understand why you do some of the things you do, why you think some of the things you think, why you are the way you are. It's because the Lord said He'd have war with Amalek from generation to generation. God has declared war on the flesh. The Bible said in Genesis 6, "My spirit shall not always strive with man, in that he is also flesh." God's Spirit is constantly working against the flesh, and the flesh is constantly working against God's Spirit. Have you ever thought you're going crazy? Have you ever thought after you got saved, you thought, "Now, good night, I'm going nuts." Well, one minute you want to serve God and go to church and read the Bible, and the next minute you're just rotten as the devil himself. Next minute you want to quit church and you don't want to go to the house of God. You don't want to read. You don't want to pray. You're not crazy. You're just a good man living in a bad body. That's your problem. You've got an old nature. You've got a new nature that's inside of you, and an old nature that you carry around with you until the day that you die. There was an old English martyr one time. They was getting ready to burn this old boy at the stake. And right before they burned him at the stake, the soldier was fastening the chain that they was going to chain him onto the stake with. And he said, "Make them things tight, my good man, for my flesh will struggle mightily." You see, that man knew that in his spirit he was willing to die for Jesus Christ. But he also knew something else. He knew his flesh. And he knew when he got tied on that boat post and that flesh started to burn, that flesh would struggle mightily to get out of suffering for God. Now, your flesh is the same way. Your flesh will struggle to keep from suffering for God. Your flesh will struggle. If you don't believe it, just try fasting once in a while. Just try doing without once in a while.
your old flesh will begin to struggle, and it'll rise up, and it'll say, no, feed me, feed me, I want my way. Your flesh, you got a war with your flesh. And if you let your flesh have its way, young people, you listen, if you let your flesh have its way, it'll make a mess out of your life. You cannot give your flesh everything it wants. It'll tie you all to pieces. It's never satisfied. It always wants more. You cannot satisfy the flesh. You're going to have war with that Amalek from generation to generation. I don't want to say something now about the flesh. Did you ever notice you can learn more wrong accidentally than you can right on purpose? Have you ever noticed that? Have you ever noticed that you can remember stuff that you read before you got saved in an ungodly book and can't remember scripture that you read yesterday? Have you ever realized that you can remember them old wicked movies you used to go watch? Some of them 10 years ago. And can't remember what your Sunday school lesson was on last Sunday morning? God, what makes it like that? You have a flesh that is constantly struggling against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary, the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. The reason so many people have a problem coming to church regular is that they let their flesh get the best of them. A lot of them would be here tonight, but they let the flesh get the best of them. The flesh said, I don't want to go to church tonight. And they thought that was them, but it really wasn't. It was their flesh, so they didn't come. They let the flesh have the victory. They don't recognize that they have two natures. You don't recognize that you've got a good man and a bad man, and you're going to have to put up with that bad man the rest of your life. Have you ever noticed you can think some of those terrible thoughts? You ever thought while you're praying? Have you ever noticed how that you can be reading the Bible and my soul, just the all terriblest things come in your mind that ever was? You know why? You've got an old fleshly mind, and you've got an old fleshly body, and if you don't keep it under subjection, it'll rule you and eventually ruin you. Now I want to say some things about it tonight. First of all, first thing I want to say is that your flesh resents supernatural. The flesh resents the supernatural. You know that? Your flesh automatically resents anything that is supernatural. You never had any trouble with your flesh until what? You got saved, right? Now these children of Israel, they never had any trouble with Amalek. They come out of Egypt. They come through the Red Sea. They just went a little ways out there in the desert. And they said, we want some water. And Moses took the rod. He went over and cracked that rock, and water came out of that rock, and the children of Israel drank it. They drank spiritual water, and the Bible said that rock was cracked. And you know what the next verse says? Then came Amalek. Look at it. In verse number 8, I believe. The Lord give them water. In verse 6 and 7, and the verse said, number 8, then, preacher, when they had a spiritual experience, when they got right with God, when they drink of that water from heaven, you don't have no trouble with your flesh until you get right with God. And as soon as you get right with God, your flesh is going to rise up and scream and holler and butt and rebel and squall and give you a fit, brother, as soon as you get right with God. You know how come some Christians are never bothered with their flesh? They don't want to fight the battle. They give up years ago. They just went ahead letting the flesh have its way. They don't want to fight with it. But if you're going to live right and you're going to be right with God, you are going to have a battle with your flesh, because the flesh is enemy of God. When did it attack? Soon as the miracle happened. After a miracle, the rock, the Red Sea, then came Amalek. Soon as you get saved, then the flesh begins to scream. I don't know about you, but most Christians, they have worse temptations after they're saved than they did before they were saved. Most Christians, the devil, he gets brave, man, after you get saved, he'll tempt you to do things you never dreamed of doing before you got saved. And the reason is because the flesh resents anything supernatural. Anything that happens supernatural in your life, the flesh will resent it. That's how come it's hard for you to go to church. That's how come the devil tries to, and your flesh tries to talk you out of coming. That's how come it's so hard to read the Word of God. You say, oh my goodness, I didn't have them kind of temptation before I got saved. Maybe I'm not saved at all. Well, you need to realize the flesh resents the supernatural. I've seen people come to church. Hey, I want to tell you something, folks. Now, this, some of you ain't going to believe this. So I stand here with my hand up and back, but it's the truth. I've seen it at least 10 times since we've been in this church. In 5.5 years, I've seen this, I'm guessing, at least 10 times. Some people come to church better before they get saved than they do after they get saved. That's it. I've seen it over and over and over right here in this church. Somebody get under conviction, and some they won't miss a service. They're there Sunday morning, they're there Sunday night, they're there Wednesday night. Some of them do that for 6 months solid, not miss a service, and as soon as they get saved, drop out. Some of them, I kind of wish they hadn't got saved. There's better church members before they got saved than there was after they got saved. That's the truth. You know people like that. Kind of makes you wonder, don't it? Like, my goodness, there's living for the Lord better when they're lost than there was after they got saved. You know why? Your flesh don't put up a fight with you when you're lost like it does when you get saved. I didn't have that problem because I never went to church when I was lost. But if sometimes a man goes to church lost for 2 years, then he gets saved, first thing you do is drop out. And then came Amalek. That's the most dangerous time in a Christian's life, about a year, the first year after they're saved. You know why? Because that flesh is going, let me out of here. And he said, go, you're going to church. Now, if there's somebody in here that's not saved, you think I'm crazy. Up here fighting myself. But I found out a great truth, brother. You know who Danny's worst enemy is? Danny. My worst enemy is me. It's not Danny Tucker. He's my second worst one. I want you to know, brother, my worst enemy is me. That's my worst enemy. It's keeping my, if I could get old Danny Castle straightened out, I could put up with him. If I could get old Danny Castle straightened out, I could put up with a bad phone call. If I could ever get old Castle on the altar, if I could ever get him to shut up his mouth and quit getting his feelings hurt, man, I could live for God, you know. That's your problem. Your problem is you. Your enemy's not your husband. It's not your wife. Your biggest enemy is you, brother. Have you ever felt like your biggest enemy was your wife or your husband? Well, everybody feels like that from time to time, but really it's not. It's your flesh. It's your flesh. Dangerous time is right after you get saved. You know that? You know, get the higher bond. Most dangerous time in a Christian's life, right after we get saved. You know why? Because the flesh is going, I don't like this. I should be free to do what I want to. And you say, shut up. We ain't going to them bars no more. We ain't going to them places no more. And it says, And finally it just gives up and says, well, if you ain't going to let me do them things no more, I'll just get religious. And you say, I'm going to church every Sunday, flesh. And the flesh says, all right. Then the flesh will want to get in that religious show. And the flesh will look for some kind of experience. And then he'll look for some kind of supernatural thing. He'll want to speak in tongues. Or he'll want to heal somebody. That's what your flesh will do. Right after you get saved, it says, well, shit, don't let me do all that wild stuff. I'll just get in here and put on a big show. I want you to know, brother, you've got to keep that flesh under subjection. Your flesh resents anything supernatural. And then came Amalek. Right after the miracle. Right after the blessing. Then come up the flesh. Second thing I want to say about the flesh is that the flesh attacks first. The flesh attacks first. You don't have to attack it, brother. It'll attack you. You don't have to say, all right, I'm saved now. I'm going to go hunting my flesh. I'm going to put it under subjection. Son, it'll hit you, buddy. The Bible said in Numbers 24:20 that Amalek was the first of the nations to attack Israel. You know what that means? That ain't the first nation they run into. They went up and swamped over Joshua, over Jericho. They swamped Ai. They swamped them other little towns. But Amalek was the first one to attack them. Numbers 24:20. Now the flesh will attack first. Turn to Galatians chapter 5 again. Galatians chapter 5. Let's do a little Bible study on this. Nothing like a little Bible study to nail down a good home, a good point. Galatians chapter number 5. And he lists in Galatians 5 the works of the flesh and the works of the spirit. I don't know if you've ever noticed it or not, but he always lists the works of the flesh first. The flesh attacks first. In Galatians chapter 5, and in verse number 16, this I say to him, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Then the verse we read a while ago. And then look at verse 19, he gives you the works of the flesh. Now the works of the flesh are these, are manifest, which is these, adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, violence, immolation, wrath, sedition, strife, sedition, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, levelings, and such like that I told you before, I told you in time past, they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. All right, the Bible tells us that the flesh attacks first. He's got so many methods. I want to give you one of the first methods of attacking you. Deuteronomy. Way back to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter number 5. If you got your Bible, turn back there just a minute. In Deuteronomy chapter number 5, I believe it's chapter number 5, 25, I'm sorry. Deuteronomy chapter 25, fifth book in the Bible, Deuteronomy. And look at chapter 25 and verse number 17. In Deuteronomy 25, the Lord is bringing back to the children of Israel, remember, what Amalek did to them in the wilderness. Now always remember, here's how Amalek attacks. His method, he's sneaky, he's subtle, he's conniving, brother, he's dastardly, he's slick. He'll slide in on you when you're looking for it. Deuteronomy 25 and verse number 17. Remember what Amalek did unto thee. By the way, when you were coming forth out of Egypt, God asked you that say, verse 18, how he met thee, by the way, he attacked and smote thee hindmost of thee. He sneaks up on your blind side. He comes in from the back door. Even all that were feeble behind thee. Hits you at your weak point. And when thou wast faint, hits you when you're low, hits you when you're discouraged and weary, and he feared not God. There's a picture of your flesh. You ever seen it, brother? That's what your flesh will do. Your flesh will hit you when you ain't looking. Your flesh will hit you when your water tires up. Your flesh will hit you when the commode won't flush. Run out of the bathroom and it's time to go to the house of God. Your flesh will hit you when you're faint, when you're weary, when it's time for you to pray. The flesh will make your kids get on your nerves. The flesh will come on you and cause you to say something you shouldn't say or lose your temper. Your flesh is something you've got to battle with. If you don't bring it under subjection, it'll ruin your Christian life. Have you ever noticed that your flesh will cooperate anytime you want to do something fasting and just take a dying fit when you want to do something spiritual? It does. I've been saved 10 years, and to this day, anytime I want to do something spiritual, my flesh jumps up. The only time your flesh enjoys doing anything for God is when it thinks it's going to get something out of it. And that's how come some people say, oh, I just love to go to hear so-and-so preach. They tell all them funny stories when I get to life. You know why? The flesh enjoys a little bit. They ain't a spiritual Christian. They're deadhead. Now, I'm not against laughing in church. We laugh and have a good time here. But if that's the only time you ever enjoy church, you're not right with God. You ought to just sit there and say, scare me sometime, preacher. My flesh is going to struggle, but lay it to me. That's how come I get them preachers I get at their Bible conference. Son, they don't come no harder than that bunch. I mean, if they don't hit you, you just ain't here. That's all they are to it. You know why? Because, brother, it'll do you good to sit down and let some old preacher get up and just peel a hide off of you once in a while. You say, well, it hurts. Yeah, but it feels good afterwards. After you hit all in, you repent and confess up, and you start doing what you should. Notice the offering's a little bit better since the priest don't tithe in last week, didn't it? Don't tell me it don't do no good. Some old backslider got right down here last Sunday night. Hey, listen, your flesh is always constantly rebelling against you. That's why you come to church and get somebody to preach to you. Somebody said, I don't like to go to church where they holler at you and point your finger at me. Brother, I wouldn't give you a dime for one that don't do that. Amen. What good is it doing? I'm done saved. They can't make me no more saved than I am. I want them to go tell me how to live right. Tell me how I'm supposed to do. Tell me how I'm supposed to walk. And if sure as there's a Christian that says, I don't like to hear your preacher get up and tell me how I'm supposed to live, that Christian is giving into the flesh right there. You ever noticed? Now, you may not have these problems. Some of us weaker ones do. So you may not. Have you ever noticed how you can pick up a newspaper and read it and read it and read it and not get sleepy? And as soon as you pick up the Bible, you can't hold your eyes open. I go up there, sometimes I'm uptown, and I got somebody I'm supposed to meet somewhere, and I go to the library, and I was studying on a certain subject, and I'll get a book, dictionary, encyclopedia, or something else, and I can pass by a rack and something will catch my attention. And I'll pick up, see an article in a magazine, and I'll just sit there and just eat that up. Just read it like crazy. And not 5 minutes later, open my Bible and begin to read it, and I ain't read one chapter until I can't hold my eyes open. You say, well, that's because you read that other stuff first. You know how I know? Because you can put your Bible back down and go back and pick up that other thing and wake that back up. Your flesh will cooperate as long as you're doing something fleshly. That's how come when you get the young people together and say, we're all going to go out and give out tracts, so and know somebody's grass will help them out Saturday morning. They all got something to do. But if we're all going to Carowind this Saturday, they'll all show up 6 o'clock in the morning and $10-$15 in their pocket. Because your flesh will cooperate with something fleshly. But if it's something spiritual, your flesh just won't cooperate. You have to make it. That is the difference between a successful Christian and a failure Christian. Somebody that learns to say, no flesh, overcome the flesh, will be a good Christian. And somebody that lets their flesh get the best of them will be like some of ours tonight. Not here. Somewhere else. Out. The flesh, brother. I'll tell you what, you can have a big fishing trip planned out with the boys and you're going to the coast. And you got to get up at 3 o'clock in the morning to go to the fishing trip. And when 3 o'clock in the morning comes, you know what your flesh will do? It'll pop up out of that baby. Get that hunting stuff on. Go out there and freeze to death. Try to catch fish all day long. Come home about 12 that night. Honey, did you have a good time? Oh, we had a wonderful time. Right before revival, a preacher, what if I get up here? Hey, listen, folks. I'm just quoting the Bible here so I can just talk to you a second. What if? If I said before our Bible conference, we are going to have a prayer meeting here at 3 o'clock in the morning. On Sunday morning, we're going to have a prayer meeting here at 3 o'clock. Most of you would be well intentioned. You'd say, well, I ought to come to that. The Spirit is willing. I ought to come to that. But when the clock went off that morning, you'd say, man, he's going to prayer meeting? Oh, I just don't believe I'll go. That's your flesh. When it comes to doing something for God, your flesh does not want to do it. I'd say there's people sitting right here this morning that when you woke up, your flesh said, don't go today, don't go today, don't go today. But you got up and come on anyway. And that's what puts you in some people. It's raining. If you're going to get wet in that old church, that's a park 2 miles. Walk, you'll ruin your hair, get your clothes wet, and they stayed at home. The flesh won the battle. The flesh won the victory. I'm not going to stand up here and tell you I always get the victory on my flesh. Just the other day, boy, I lost one. A bad one. I was going to fix me something to eat. And I was at home by myself, and sometimes when I'm at home by myself, what my idea of a good time is fixing up a little bite to eat, you know, a sandwich or something, and sticking in a tape. And listen to the tape and read and eat at the same time. I enjoy it. I really get a blessing out of that. That's what I do every day. As soon as I can get by myself, that's what I do. Eat, read, bless, and listen to the tape. That's how come so much stuff comes out of me all at once, I reckon. And I don't like to read with it quiet, and I don't like to listen to a tape without reading.
So I do them both. And the other day, the Lord said, just get this man to pray. And I went, I didn't hear that. And boy, just as sure as the world, that Holy Ghost brought back to my mind what I preached a few weeks ago on God will make a way of escape that you may be able to bake. And I felt like God's Spirit was saying, he wants you to skip this meal and pray. And I said, oh, Lord, it's raining out high and cold. It could be, oh, it could be so cozy in here. I was going to, she, Linda had some of that hamburger heifer, brother. I love that stuff. Had them macaronis and cheese on it and hamburger mixed in there. Anything with hamburger and cheese and macaroni is good to me. All I had to do was just heat it up. Put it in a bowl. How it was. Seemed like the Lord spoke to me again. I'm ashamed to tell this. I really am. Can I help somebody? I just went like that and went ahead and eat. And I said, Lord, I'm willing to do without it. And I thought if I was willing, he'd let me go ahead and do it. And brother, I didn't enjoy it too much. I let the flesh get the best of me. Now, sometimes, I mean, not saying every time that happens, it's always the Lord, but how come sometimes you can just sit down and eat and never think nothing about it? And then other times, boy, there's something just in there, just a turning. Then something else you ought to be doing. Same way on visitation. You'll have somebody you think the Lord wants you to go see, and other people that you want to go see. And you think, no, not them, Lord, not them. They'll cuss me out. And brother, a lot of times we let the victory, let the flesh get the victory over us. Amalek. You ever notice you get sleepy in church while the preacher's preaching? You think, oh, Amalek, I'm hurt Amalek, so I'm tired of Amalek. Why don't you hurry up and get through? Some of you, before you came tonight, you was hoping it wouldn't last long. So you can hurry and get home. You say, I'm sleepy. I want to get in the bed. I want you to know, when you get home, you won't go to bed. You'll fix a sandwich. You'll fix some Pepsi. You'll sit down and turn on the mood tube. Say, I wonder what's on. Somebody, your wife says, honey, I thought you were sleepy. Well, I ain't sleepy no more. Well, you're snoring in church. Well, I don't know, but when I got home, I just woke up. How come you just woke up when you got home? How come you can't hold your eyes open for 30 minutes to listen to the Word of God? But I tell you what, people can do anything except go to church. I don't even know why some people come. They gripe and fuss about it, being too long. I got a letter from a lady the other day that made me shout. It said, Brother Castle, I really enjoyed the radio broadcast. The only thing wrong with it was it wasn't long enough. And I said, glory, hallelujah, I know somebody's wrong. Anyway, brother, I found out that this woman, she enjoyed the Word of God. And if you're flesh, you'll let it. It'll keep you from doing what God wants you to do. You know how I know? Because you can come in from work on Wednesday evening and you say, I've been up since 5:30. I just can't make it on Wednesday night. And you can come in on Friday evening and say, come run in here, hurry, eat this, we're going Christmas shopping. And leave at 4:30 and go Christmas shopping and walk all over Kmart, brother, until they run you out. 6 hours! I like what old Charles Worley said about that. Brother, that's the truth. You know that's the truth. He said there's some of them old grandmas, but they look like they're in a coma, walking around in Kmart, brother. Somebody having a family, they're walking around in there for hours and hours at a time. Couldn't come to the house of God, felt too bad, too sick, not able to go to church. I don't tell you, brother, sister, if you can walk around in a shopping center for 4 solid hours working all day, you can come and sit in God's house on a nice soft seat for 35 or 40 minutes and study the Word of the God that saved you from hell. Don't let your flesh get the picture. 10 o'clock comes a lot later than 7 o'clock, and yet people can come to be at work at 7 o'clock every morning. They can't be in Sunday school by 10 o'clock on Sunday morning. That's the flesh. What it is, All right. Victory over the flesh. Last thing I want to say tonight, how to get victory over your flesh. I don't guess there is such a thing as a once and for all victory until you die. You can have victory over the flesh. The Bible said, walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. I want to give you about four things right quick. I'm just going to read these off, comment on them briefly. How you can have victory over the flesh. Let's turn back to the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 15. 1 Samuel, chapter 15. Way on back there. And this is some book, brother. I tell you, 1 Samuel and 2 Samuel. A lot of the so-called contradictions of the Bible are in 1 and 2 Samuel. And in 1 Samuel chapter 15, we're going to read a little bit about having the victory over the flesh. 1 Samuel chapter 15, and look at verse 1. Samuel also said to Saul, the Lord sent me to anoint thee to be king over his people, over Israel. Now therefore, hearken thou unto the voice of the words of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I remember that which Amalek, remember that's your flesh, Amalek did to Israel, how he laid wait for him in the way when he came up from Egypt. Now he's telling you just what he told you in the New Testament, spiritually. He's telling you here, literally, verse 3. Now go and smite Amalek. Smite him, brother. Nail him to a cross. And utterly destroy all that they have. Stop right there just a second. Get rid of everything Amalek's got. Get rid of them old ungodly records. Get rid of them old filthy things. Them old wicked clothes. Them old things of the flesh. That's the first way to do it. Utterly destroy all that he has. And spare them not, but slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, ox, sheep, camel, and ass. And Saul went down and you know how he messed up and spared some of the Amalekites. And that really ruined him by sparing some of the flesh. But how to have victory over the flesh tonight? I want to give you these two or three or four reasons right quick. First of all, how to have victory over the flesh? The Lord Jesus must do the fighting. That's the first way. The Lord must fight the battle for you. You cannot do it on your own. The Bible said, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Did you hear me? The Bible said, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. You can't overcome the flesh on your own. I've seen boys quit drinking. Then they go to Black Mountain and get them all dried out like a sponge. And they'd come out and I'd say, well, heard you really got straightened out. And they said, yes, sir, I'll never touch another drop. And I said, well, you going to church any? Going to church. I'm going to get started one of these days. And I'll tell you what, I'll never touch another drop of liquor. And I say, I hate to tell you this, but you're not strong enough. Oh, I don't even have no desire for it. Now, a man's a fool to talk that way. Because the devil knows he don't have no desire for it right then. But what he don't look at it 2 weeks from now, when he's coming home from work, and he's worked all day long, and he's just got his check cashed, and his throat's real dry, and his flesh is feeling a little good. He passes by the beer store. He forgets about that. Because when he does pass by the beer store, something says, look at that. And he thought he could do it on his own. But he can't. He pulls in and he goes ahead and gets back in with the devil. You can't fight the flesh of your own power. Self-confidence is fatal in fighting your flesh. You can't do it. You can't do it. Proverbs 3:5 says, trust the Lord with all thy heart, lean not thine own understanding, and all thy ways acknowledge him, he shall direct thy path. Remember the verse, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. The Bible says, the Lord shall fight the battle. And then the second way to have victory over the flesh is rest in the Lord. Rest in the Lord. Learn what it means to just rest in the Lord. Don't think you have to go running off every carnival that comes to town and go see every movie that comes out. Just cool it, brother. Just sit back and rest a little bit. Sit at home. Just rest in the Lord. Let Him be your dread. Let Him be your fear. Grown out of God, He'll grow out of you. And then the third way to have victory over the flesh is pray. Pray. Hit your knees. Hit your knees. Plead the blood. Every man here tonight, before you go to sleep at night, get down and say, God, I want a blood bath. Clean me up. Wash me in the blood of Jesus. Get those junk filled. Get the demons away from me. Keep them off my wife. Keep them off my kids. Run them off from our house, brother. Pray. That's your weapon against the flesh. You don't pray, you won't have victory over your flesh. And you won't do it. Now, I'll tell you something else. If you just pray a little old Polly one cracker prayer, R.G. Lee said, and the same word this morning, and while you're putting on your pants, you know, saying, Lord, bless my wife today and help the kids, you know, Lord, and help them all and keep them safe today. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm late for work. Oh, you ain't going to get nowhere praying like that. You ain't even praying at all. You say, well, I'll be late. Well, get up a minute or two earlier so you'll have the victory. Did you know if you meet God in the morning, you can have the victory all day long? But if you say, oh, I'm too late, I'll pray at lunch, you lost it there, brother. You lost the battle. You'll be defeated all day long. You must talk to God before you talk to men. You must talk to God about men before you talk to men about God. Because if you don't, you're going to be taking men's opinion of God instead of God's opinion of man. That's how to have victory over the flesh. And then, the Word of God. There's your source. What's the Bible say Joshua did? Joshua discomfited Amalek with the edge of the sword. What verse is that? 14? 15? Look out in Exodus chapter 17. Somebody tell me which verse that is. Joshua discomfited Amalek with the edge of the sword. It's 14 or 15 long in there somewhere. That's how he got the victory over Amalek. That's how he got the victory over the flesh. Verse 13. He cut discomfited Amalek with the edge of the sword. Old Joshua went up there and stuck it in his gut, brother. Done away with the Amalek. He says, "That what am I supposed to do with my flesh? Jerk your sword out on him." Young men, you young boys that ain't been saved long, get your sword. The Bible said this is a sword of the Spirit. It's quick and powerful, and I tell you how you use it. You hide it in your heart, and the first time Amalek comes up on you, jab him with it. First time that old boy, that old buck down at the pool hall wants you to go to a party with him, I tell you what you do, boy. You memorize Proverbs 1:15. And next time they say that, say, my son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path. Stick it in their gut. That's how you get the victory over your flesh. Brother, I know I've tried it both ways. I've tried resisting on my own, and I've tried quoting Scripture. Quoting Scripture will run the devil off every time. That's how Jesus did it. Next time your flesh says, boy, I will go down to the Hoosie Coosie Show. Quote, lust not after her beauty in thine heart. Let her not take you with her eyelids. Stick that sword in your gut, brother. Kill old Amalek. The next time you ladies start wanting to put on some of that old skimpy, ungodly outfit and go out in public with it, say, let your women dress in modest apparel. Stick a sword in your gut. Crucify that flesh. Don't get rid of it. Most people's problem is they don't want to get rid of it. They like to let the flesh have its way. I want you to know, if you want to be a happy Christian, get your prayers answered and have victory in your soul, you're going to have to jab him once in a while. You're here and you've got a drinking problem. And every time you go by a beer store, all you want a beer, and you want some wine, you want something so bad you can't stand it. Learn that verse back on Proverbs. Long about chapter 30, 27, 28. Wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging. 28 verse 1, 29 verse 1. One of those. Wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging. Whosoever deceives our body is not wise. Stick him with the edge of the sword. And then, the last way to get victory over the flesh is nail him to the cross. Crucify him. And here is where it'll take a fit. Galatians 5:24, they that are Christ have crucified their flesh with affections and lust. You know what Paul said in Galatians 2:20? I am crucified with Christ. I want to tell you something, friend. If your flesh is nailed to a cross, that means it don't go nowhere it wants to go. It don't do nothing it wants to do. I mean, it's nailed to a cross. I mean to tell you, and that flesh is on a cross, it don't go nowhere. Dead. The Bible says, reckon yourself to be dead. Some of you young people here tonight, you need to put your flesh on an old cross and crucify it. I ain't going back to them hell holes. I ain't going back to places of the world. My flesh is crucified. It's on a cross. You say, well, Brother Daniel, I can't have no fun. Yeah. You keep having that kind of fun, and you're going to wind up in big trouble. Because the flesh will get you in that kind of trouble. Joshua discomfited Amalek with the edge of the sword. The Bible said, crucify the flesh. Paul said, I die daily. Here's what you got to do. Every morning when you get up, kill it. You know what some people's problem is? They used to be spiritual. And they think they know everything about the church and everything that ought to go on now simply because of what they used to be. You can't go tonight on what you were 5 years ago, friend. You got to have some God on you for tonight. You got to have some of God's power on you tonight. The reason some of you are sitting here tonight and you're miserable and you ain't like the thing that's went on at this church in 5 years, and the reason some of you can't be happy is because somewhere down the road, your flesh rose up and got the victory, and you won't put it down. Put it down. Put it down. You say, well, I think that's your flesh. Put it down. And say, I'm having victory. I'm walking in the Spirit. You shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. The reason some people got saved 6 months ago, or a year ago, or 3 years ago, or 10 years ago, or 4 years ago, and they're miserable tonight, is they let the flesh rule over. You can't do it. You'll have war with Amalek from this generation on forever. Let's bow our heads while we go to the Lord in prayer. Every head bowed and every eye closed. I want to ask Kay to come to the piano if she would. Brother Johnny to come. Get us a song. We're only going to sing about 2 verses of a song. If you need to come tonight for any reason. Maybe your flesh been getting the best of you and you want to come up here and nail it on the cross. You got to do it every day. We'll leave you a chance to do that. Father, I pray in Jesus' name, Lord, it should help us. God, our flesh don't want to do what you want us to many, many times. So, Lord, I pray that you'd help us. I pray, God, that you'd give us grace to overcome it, walk in the Spirit, and not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Oh, God, help every man, every woman, every boy, and every girl here, Lord, to have victory over that. Maybe it's a bad temper, or maybe it's, Lord, just plain old downright laziness, or not reading the Word of God, or not praying, or not being the wife they should be, or not being the husband they should be. Help them, Lord, to nail that old flesh to the cross and walk in the Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Let's stand.